from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
What's that sound? That's the sound of Downy Unstoppable scent beads going into your washing machine and giving your clothes freshness that lasts all day long. There it is again. It's like music to your ears, or more like music to your nose. That freshness is irresistible. Let's get a Downy Unstoppables bottle shake. And now a sniff solo. Nice. Get 6 times longer lasting freshness plus odor protection with Downy Unstoppables in wash scent beads.
He brings the passion.
For what? I want to know now. I'm mentally invested. Don't tell me to pray and you don't say what for.
He brings the perspective.
Yeah, I think they both have a great point.
Get off me, text line.
He's truly one of a kind.
That is wow.
Oh, my God.
And he's doing a great job.
I need you to man up and say what you really want to say.
Simon, you're doing a great job.
They are Stymie and Guru.
Yeah.
On 95.7 The Game.
The tables have turned, Goo. The tables have turned. And what I mean by this is about 7 days ago, a week ago from today, I was across the pond. I got a text from our partner who has now switched places. He's out in London. Matt Steinmetz is out this week. He'll be back on Monday. My name is Evan Giddings with Daryl the Guru Johnson. But I got a text from Stymie.
Okay.
And it said, Thursday. Goo is out.
Yeah.
Well, I got some for you, Stynie. Thursday, Stynie's out.
Yeah, baby.
How's
and
it
he
feel?
Sent us a text on a nice one. He must have been in a good mood.
Yeah, I don't know what's been going on with it.
I didn't know how to respond. I just put the heart emoji and then I thought about it.
Yeah, usually when he sends a message, it's something that we could, I don't know, stir in the pot.
Yeah, Warriors cooked. Something like that.
Yeah, I don't know. I expected something about, I don't know, Curry shooting 26% from 3-point range in the Olympics. I don't know. Maybe it was about Katie Ledecky winning her 8th gold medal. Just running away with the 1,500 meter the other day. I don't know, maybe it was about, the San Francisco Giants who managed to get back in the win column last night.
Yeah, Webb was filthy. He needed that. They needed that.
Yes, they did. He righted the ship.
4.5 back of the last wild card, if you're into that.
But I got to tell you what's hitting me today.
Give it to me.
For the next 6 months, we will not have a single week without football.
Man, oh man.
Without American red-blooded football, baby.
And then, man, let's do it.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to do my touchdown return call since you're the play-by-play. He gets a 20, 25, 30, 35. He may go 40, 45, 50, 45, 40, 35, 30. He can go 20, 15, 10, touchdown. Yeah, that's it. You got me fucked.
Oh.
That was my return kickoff call.
Well, I think the Niners are still holding tryouts for the kickoff, man. So we got to figure out who's actually going to be taking the ball back.
Wake him up.
Yes, sir. Oh, my God. That got me juiced right there. It's radio for the Niners. What it's for radio for the Steelers, for the Cowboys.
She said it.
It's Romo on the call. It's Nance. I'm looking forward to what we got. The Hall of Fame game tonight. Patrick Willis, 49ers great, is going to be enshrined.
He was a bad boy. Cut short, but he made it.
Something your neighbor can bet on. A game tonight. You know.
Yeah,
so,
look at you.
It was announced that Frank Gore's going into the 49ers Hall of Fame.
You and I, Kay, had a little spirited debate about Frankie.
It wasn't even about Frank Gore. It was about Zach Thomas and Brian Urlacher. Nobody cares. Nobody really cares.
What did you tell Kay? Did I overhear you say, I don't know everything. I don't know it all, right? I'm a smart dude. I was pretty good material.
Well, he asked me a specific question. I was like, I just don't have the answer to it. I know.
I said, I got to use that. That's pretty good.
Mostly everything.
I don't know it all, okay? Oh,
mostly
God.
Everything. Not everything. What I do know, though, Goo, is, you know, look, last couple days we've been discussing the San Francisco Giants. The trade deadline has come and gone. You know, we'll talk about them when they give us things to talk about, and Logan Webb certainly did last night. But I got to tell you, I've just been piling up these receipts from Niners training camp. They're finally in pads. We're going to talk with Jennifer Lee Chan of NBC Sports Bay Area via the River Islands guest line at noon.
Awesome.
So we're going to get an update there. I don't think it's a public practice today, but they'll still be out there on the pitch. And
so we don't know if Purdy threw any. What are we doing?
Well, come on, man.
The interception count.
You want to start there?
What's going on? This has happened all over. Evan, is it a thing when you mess up in practice?
Yes.
Are we that thirsty?
Well, I'll say this, though, because, you know, look, there's reports from a bunch of other camps. And, of course, what Gru is referring to is,
tell
I believe it was
out,
Monday, Brock Purdy threw three interceptions in practice, and I think he followed it up on Tuesday with four. Yesterday, he did not throw any picks from what, at least, some of the beat reporters were saying. But, yeah, people are wondering, you know, what's going on with the interceptions. And Brock Purdy himself spoke about it, basically saying, look, he's experimenting, he's trying things. But we've also heard Brock Purdy now a lot more this offseason than we did last offseason because, remember, he was nursing that arm injury heading into training
Man.
Camp. So it's an opportunity, I think, to dig into Purdy. And to me, Goo, Brock Purdy is the most fascinating athlete in the NFL this season. He's the one that everybody is going to be interested in because in many ways he does drive the 49ers, and in some cases people feel like he's a bit dependent on the surrounding cast that the 49ers have. For example, you know, the top 100 list is almost done. I think the top 10 have to come out.
Go ahead.
No, but I mean the 49ers have a ton of talent. Look, they have 8 guys in the top 100. They have Fred Warner, George Kittle, Brock Purdy, obviously, Nick Bosa, Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, and Dre Greenlaw. So a lot of top-notch players. They have the best.
Not 6, not 7.
Right, okay.
Were you talking about Purdy's pick total? Or?
Whoa, early. Oh. You and Mr. Irrelevant saying I look like Boyz II Men lost brother, but go ahead.
What? People coming out of the woodworks already.
Early.
Man, but they have the most talent in football. And the guy that is really at the head of the snake, it's always the quarterback.
And I get that, but at what point do we stop? I've never turned down a cocktail or going to the cafeteria when you talk about how great a quarterback is, and then we start doing the algebra or the math or the calculus, Evan, on what's around him. Dan Marino had the Marx brothers. Troy Aikman had Michael Irvin and Emmitt Smith in that O-line. Montana had Rice, Taylor. Like, I get what people are saying, but what scares me about Brock Purdy, Evan, is when he got thrown into the fire, he didn't know that day when he was driving that he was even going to get a snap. And lo and behold, Jimmy gets hurt. He goes out there. He took full advantage of it. I think his processor or his Wi-Fi is faster than most. So I can step back and say that's what he's bringing to the table. Wrecks his elbow, and I'm like, man, this thing, he ruined an opportunity. He'll probably won't come back from that, just from a physical standpoint. Evan came back from that the following season and took the team to the Super Bowl. So I've been around the block, a lot more blocks than you have.
A couple.
Unfortunately. And Evan, I could see a scenario to where he regresses a bit, but what I believe I've seen in the playoffs and Super Bowl, where I believe he did not cost him the Super Bowl, he wasn't perfect, he didn't wet the bed. So I guess what I'm saying is he's the quarterback in this system. He was blessed. He was born to good parents. So at what point do we stop robbing him of credit and saying it's what's around him? Because we saw Garoppolo, who also had a great win-loss record, went to a Super Bowl, a couple NFC championship games. So he looked better than he actually was. I just don't get that feeling with Brock. But these 17 games, I believe, are the deciding factor, Evan, to where we can say who's carrying who. Is he a byproduct of Kyle's genius? Or is this guy really really bringing something to the table.
Well, that's why I think he will be the most intriguing player in the league this upcoming season, is because I don't know how many times people are willing to do that dance with Brock again. The conversation of, is it him? Is it the team? I think at this point for me, it doesn't really matter, especially when you consider the amount of talent the Niners have, but the amount of talent that might not be on the team after this season. And I think that's why people have written about, you know, describing this season as a kind of a last dance or whatnot. Obviously, the contract situations with Brandon Ayuk and Trent Williams are still in the air. We can dive into those also. Mm-hmm. But to me, because of everything that surrounds both Brock Purdy himself as well as the team that he captains, all eyes are on him. And it might be a bit unfair, but people are going to be dissecting him like the presidential election that are coming up. I mean, seriously, like, people are going to look at Brock Purdy and every single thing that he does. And because of the looming contract extension next summer, they're going to wonder if each and every pass means, all right, is that our guy for the future? Yeah, is that a dollar sign? How many dollars? Is that going to cost you this player? There's going to be so much surrounding Brock Purdy. And I'm excited because I just can't wait, because he's shown us no reason to not believe in him yet.
No doubt about it, Evan. And I'm like the Pointer Sisters. I'm so excited. I just can't hide it. And I'm with you because of the two scoreboards. It's the Niners and then Brock Purdy, how he plays. And, you know, how many times, Evan, have you heard your boy say the Niner offense in the last playoff run was pedestrian? And I never once said, was it because of Brock? But now I do wonder if Savage on the Packers, the linebacker, if he catches that pick six that Purdy threw to him in the breadbasket, you know, would that have changed the course of that game? And then what would we be feeling about Brock if we could have said, you know what, you had a bad game, you cost him, it was Jimmy-esque. That didn't happen, but I'm starting to wonder how much, if at all, was Brock Purdy not the guy that he was earlier in the season before to make the Niners offense look average throughout the whole playoffs. And I could make a case, or some could, you know, there wasn't one juncture in the offs where the Niners offense looked like they did early on, where Bontes of the world, and I was backing them saying, this is the 94 Niners, this offense is incredible. That kind of dissipated. And I don't know why, but I wonder, have coordinators figured something out? Do you press these receivers? I don't know. Do you make Brock try to throw outside to not hash it? I don't know, but I feel like all that you talk about will be answered this year. And when they go give that man his check, or he re-ups, Evan, we'll find out, really, is he the $60 million man? But if he's not, will he still be the beneficiary of, I'm in the right place at the right time? Like, Jordan Love is not the best quarterback, but he's your highest paid.
But that's why this week, I think everybody is, you know, blowing up the amount of interceptions that he's thrown, or maybe not the amount of interceptions that he's thrown, the amount of completions that he's thrown. And we do this all the time, but I feel like the last couple of years, Goo, the reason why we've had the microscope on the quarterbacks is because we haven't known, right? We didn't know if it was Jimmy 2 years ago, although it was expected to be his job coming off the NFC Championship. Well, when is Trey Lance going to emerge? Well,
boy.
We figured out the storybook. Not storybook ending. The ending to that story.
Dallas practice, but go ahead. I'm sorry.
Dak Prescott doesn't, by the way, and we can compare that
in
a moment.
Me.
But now we know. Now we know who the quarterback of the San Francisco 49ers is. Because even 365 days ago, there were some people, and I was one of them, that were concerned. Not that Brock wasn't the guy, but would he be healthy enough to be the guy? And he even admitted, up until the bye week, he was still going through a lot of physical therapy to get that elbow back and right. It didn't look like it. I mean, remember, what was it, week four, week five against Dallas? He threw four touchdowns on Sunday night.
Yes, sir.
That was still with rehabbing that long-lost elbow. And so he didn't feel 100% until the bye week after week eight. Now he does feel 100%.
Man.
And apparently he's letting it rip in practice, because this is what he said. Now is the time to experiment. That's why we've seen three picks, four picks, no picks.
Get it out
just
your
going
system.
Up and down.
Okay.
Using those bullets and letting them fly.
No doubt. And I'll ask you this, Evan, because Stani had brought this up, and I really, you know, when he brings it up, it's not a stop sign, because I'm always going to plow through it. But I do wonder, like, is he on to something? So when you do pay your said quarterback, do you put in the formula of, how good is he going to be if I don't have Evan or Guru at his disposal? Like, how does that calculus work? Because to me, Brock Purdy's going to get paid for what he's done, assuming he has the year he had last year. There's no way I would not be afraid to give him 60 M's. But Steiny was just bringing up the point of Evan, okay, maybe you're going to lose some talent around you. Then what do you become? But I'm like, Steiny, you got to put the ring on the finger before you get that answer. Because right now, I'm betting, Evan, that Ayuk will be out there in the red and gold, and so will Debo. But I'm not going to hold back money predicated on a premise that I won't have the answer to of how's Evan going to perform when there is no Guru Steiny. What do you could do? Do you think like that's a real something that crosses Kyle's mind of this dude looks excellent when we got everything there, but if we lose a guy, lo and behold, two, then what is he? I don't think it works that way.
Well, that's why I would ask the question. You know, we're starting today, 888-957-9570. I mean, do you care about training camp interceptions? I don't necessarily care about the number, but I do care about why they might be happening. Number one, I think Purdy is, yeah, he's trying to get those bullets out. If there's time to make mistakes, it's when it doesn't count. It's when the bullets are not live. However, right now, Brandon Ayuk is not, he's at practice, but he's not in pads. Trent Williams is neither in pads nor at practice. So Brock Purdy is practicing with less weapons, less protection, a.k.a. he's got to take more risk. Because either he's got to get the ball out faster, he's trying to figure out their new wide receivers, he's looking to build a connection with, he's just going through his motions, he's trying to get better as a player. Well, I can also say that, like you mentioned, Goo, in a year or two, he probably is going to have less weapons, maybe less protection, as guys get older, as guys move on,
right,
as the money begins to come into the quarterback position. So once he's paid, isn't what we're talking about right now his future? That he's going to have less playmakers?
My point exactly. And I guess, you know, a lot of people don't like that. I'll change it up. But you have to bet that he's your guy, that he can handle that if that opportunity, if that situation rears its head. And, you know, Debo, Ayuk, or Kip, somebody's gone. I'm giving you this money all based on I still think you can be the guy that you've been when you got a full everybody at your disposal. It's kind of crazy. Like, we've seen Patrick Mahomes with basically nothing. Still, it was rough. There was turbulence, but they got it done. We've seen Brady do a whole career of not really having, outside of Randy Moss, a top-tier receiver. So I guess, Evan, I'm not going to give you one less nickel for what I've seen from you when we've had everything fully loaded, and we'll handle what we handle when that time, you know, comes. But Brock Purdy thus far, and you hadn't said it, but you alluded to it, has been spectacular.
Well, yeah, no, that's why I said it right before. Like, Brock Purdy has given me no reason to not believe in him. That's why I think that everybody's going to be, they got all eyes on him. Because the Niners are the number one team, in my opinion, on paper in the league. They have the most talent. Their roster is better than and superior than any team in the NFL. Nevertheless, the NFC, Brock Purdy might be the best quarterback in the NFC. He certainly played like it last year. So right now, the question really for this team is, okay, how can they improve around him at positions that don't involve those playmakers? And maybe that's, you know, one area that they can certainly, I don't know, improving. For example, you know, they're getting a lot more reps at left tackle without Trent Williams, more repetitions big at the wide receiver position. But you also need to figure out, like, I mean, this team is going to go based on its dudes, and right now they're devoid of a couple of them.
No doubt about it. That means a lot. So, Evan, this may shock you, it may not, and the people listening, like, I am blown away. Let's just take it. We're in the Bay. So we're talking about the Niners, and right now it's leading off the shows, this interception thing in practice. I hate the whole concept of that, but some people are saying, Goo, are you putting Purdy in that category of Mahomes and Brady? No, but I'm going to give myself a F for failure, because all I'm trying to convey is how does that conversation go if Brock Purdy has the same season he had last, didn't cost you, but he looks the part. I just How much money do you withhold, Evan, if you say to this Brock Purdy, yeah, you look great for these last 3 years, but we don't know what you're going to look like if we lose a guy or two. In my world, he's going to get cashed out and not, you know, losing money predicated on that question. And that's why I keep going to Steiny, like, dude, what if they got to see what he is without some guys? Yeah, but he's going to get paid before we find that out. So I'm not putting him in that group, Evan, but I just don't know how one player loses money on something that will not rear its head before it's time to pay him.
No, I don't think Brock Purdy's losing money. I don't see how he can necessarily lose money. I mean, to me, like, sure, there are areas and ways that Brock Purdy can get better. And it has to do with some of the situations in which he came up a bit short in last year. You know, I think playing in cold weather conditions, like those are situations that he didn't perform very well in last year.
Correct.
Can he be better in those games? Obviously, some of the bigger moments, you know, look. Brock Purdy, it was his first year as a starting quarterback. You know, he got you to where you needed to go.
Super Bowl.
But you can't always assume that you're going to get back there. And I think that's why it stings. But also the other part about training camp, too, is some of the absences. And, you know, I would just ask, you know, why they are. So, Brandon Ayuk was dapping up John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan yesterday. Talked about it towards the end of the show. Felt like that was a good thing. Trent Williams isn't there. Seems like the Niners aren't necessarily concerned yet. I just wonder what right now the vibe is in the locker room with one of the players there but not in pads and one of the players not there and the team seemingly knowing that this was going to happen.
Yeah, and I told you this before the show, Evan. You know, John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan, who can argue what they've done and what they've built? But they always came across to me, mainly John Lynch, not the Farhan or I'm the smartest man in the room. Definitely not that. But basically, we got our house in order. And the Ayuk thing, I understand. He's trying to get his bag and doesn't want to risk his future. But Trent Williams, Evan, we did a show months ago, you and I, but you brought up the fact that what if Trent Williams played this card? So why have the Niners not got out in front of this and got this handled is weird to me, and I think it's fair for anybody like ourselves, any pundits or Niner fans to say, scratch your head as to, I thought the Niners got their stuff in order. Why wouldn't this Trent Williams situation have been handled? Now, if you're going to tell me, Evan, it's no big deal that your left tackle's not here and your quarterback's struggling and he's an OG, 36 years old, he needs the time off, nothing to see here. But I do wonder why the Niners brass didn't get this done. And it is what it is right now with Trent.
And that also holds up Ayuk's situation. Again, today is significant, not just because the Hall of Fame game's going on. Look, Chicago, Houston's going to be on television.
That's under! My neighbor.
Patrick Willis is going into the Hall of Fame. It was announced that Frank Gore is going to the Niners Hall of Fame. Look, football's back. Football's starting. We got football for the foreseeable future here, and I cannot wait for it. And I just think that, look, it brings all eyes back to where the Niners are, where they're trying to get to, where they're trying to go. And that's why, you know, I don't necessarily have concern about them right now, but there are things that I just feel like, I don't know, are a bit puzzling, are kind of confusing. Trent Williams would be the biggest one for me. But all eyes have been on Brock Purdy this week because people have focused on the amount of interceptions that he's thrown. I also know he had a pretty good day yesterday at camp. I don't know if that's going to calm some of those concerns. To me, practice is a time to make mistakes. It is a time to experiment, as Purdy mentioned.
No doubt, Evan.
But I also don't want my quarterback throwing the ball to the other team as much as he has. Like, am I allowed to say that?
You are, but at the end of the day, it's not like they're going up against another team. It's just, you know, sign of the time, social media and people watching practice like their games. Back in the day, Montana probably threw 9 into practice, but guess what, Evan? It didn't make the Chronicle. It didn't make the Tribune, the Oakland Tribune. So I just think this is a byproduct of we are so thirsty for information, and now, you know, we got people, guys and gals covering it, and we'll get into it with Jennifer Lee Chan when she comes on at 12. But, Evan, I really want to say, how can I judge your rough draft? You know what I mean? Like, he's in practice working it out. But now it's a thing. It's leading off shows. Anything new? I'm like, well, I'm just stepping back. Hey, he could lead the league in interceptions if we could say it started in practice. But his left tackle's not there. One of his starting wideouts is not there. And like you said, he might want to be ultra aggressive this year, taking more chances. You know me. I cannot say this is a thing on a QB throwing picks in practice.
Well, I do read in a little bit to that aggression, but I wonder if anybody else does it. 888-957-9570. Evan in for Steiny with Goo. Let's get out to Oakland. Talk to you. Oh, what's up, Leroy? How we doing, my man?
What's up, Evan? What's up, Goo?
What's up,
man,
baby?
Y'all killing it. Man, y'all killing it this morning, man. I love y'all, too. I miss you, Steiny, but I love y'all, too. Listen, y'all know that I am a lifelong 49er fan, and how I see the interceptions happening in practice, I see it as a good thing. And I look at it like this. Brock Purdy, he's a good quarterback, and he can be great, but the jury is out. Of course, he's young, but what he has put out forward, what he has put out so far, it's been good. I have no problem with Brock Purdy. I think in his career he's got something like maybe 15 interceptions or something like that. Don't quote me, but I'm like, we've seen what he can do, and I think he's going to get better, but he's a good quarterback with the potential to be a great quarterback. So I'm not worried about Purdy. It's a good thing because I have been worried about our cornerbacks. I have been worried about our safeties. And if they're getting picks off of a pretty darn gone good quarterback, then I like that. I'm with that. That means, you know, the corners are out there doing their thing. The safeties are out there doing their thing. And it's a major concern, both of those areas, for me as a 49er fan. It has been and going forward. So I like that. Hey, keep picking him off.
Evan.
Wow.
I love that spin. I hadn't thought about it. So the cornerbacks in the secondary are balling.
Well, that is one of the reasons we heard Fred Warner talk about the secondary being potentially one of the best groups that they've had. Also know the second-year player Jair Brown is very high on the secondary. But something did happen earlier this morning that relates to Trent Williams, and I want to get into that on the other side because he might be the most important part of Purdy's success this year. Right now, he's not at training camp. 888-957-9570 is the number. Why is everybody putting the microscope and Brock Purdy right now like an ant right under a magnifying glass? Like, everybody's trying to just heat this thing up. It's because football's back. We get the Hall of Fame game tonight. Patrick Wells getting a gold jacket, and we're breaking it down here on 95.7 The Game. Evan Giddings with you in for Steiny, along with Daryl the Guru Johnson. What's coming up on The Game is brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. That segment was also brought to you by Express Employment Professionals.
As long as you're living in my house, I'm going to give you hell. Nothing good will come to you.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
See, Guru, this is why...
There
are some incredible sports athletes that are leaders here in the Bay Area. Like, I would identify, like, last night's performance by Logan Webb. Solidifies why he is who he is. Yep. His third career shutout sets down the A's in 9 straight innings. And, I don't know, doesn't necessarily write all of the ship, but he calms the seas. You know, the waters were stirring in the last few days for the Giants, and Logan Webb brings a supreme confidence to the mound and silences the Athletics with a shutout. Just incredible performance last night. I have my thoughts, but you know, you look at the leaders around the Bay Area, right? Steph Curry is obviously one of them, though he's not shooting like it right now in Paris. With the San Francisco 49ers, there are a lot of leaders on that team. I think Fred Warner, presidential, right? I think Brock Purdy is emerging as one of the leaders on those teams, or on the 49ers, I should say. Debo Samuel, George Kittle, obviously a leader on the 49ers. Even Nick Bosa to some extent. He leads by example.
Don't forget Trent.
Oh, what? He's not at training camp. Wait.
He's on the couch playing Call of Duty.
Wait, How can he lead if he's not on the field?
Yeah.
Wait, you know what he's trying to lead? He's trying to lead left tackles in dollars paid.
And he deserves it.
Well, he's just got a new benchmark that he's got to get to.
Oh, whoa.
Because according to Adam Schefter, this was earlier this morning, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and three-time Pro Bowl offensive tackle Tristan Wirfs reached an agreement on a five-year, $140 million contract extension. That's $28 million AAV.
Wow, man.
That's the new price for Trent Williams, in my opinion.
So, how many at 36 years old, I believe that's his age. Evan, this dude's on one in regard to just when you talk about personal awards or whatnot. And, you know, I know some people like whatever. But, dude, the dude's all pro the last couple of years. He's not slowing down. How does he not get that? How do you not start with that? Maybe 2-3 year. I don't know, but he's worth – if the Niners are going to do anything, I mean anything, and Kevin Costner revenge that loss put on him by the Chiefs, it starts with Trent Williams.
But that's, again, just what it all comes down to. It comes down to money. And right now, Tristan Wirfs joins the left tackles right now above Trent Williams in terms of money paid, AAV, however you want to slice it. Christian Darrisaw with the Vikings, 25 years old. Laremy Tunsil, who's going to be playing tonight in the Hall of Fame game. Actually, he might not be playing, but the Houston Texans are playing tonight. Andrew Thomas for the New York Giants, also 25 years of age. And then Trent Williams. I mean, those right now are the names that are above Trent. And Trent is more accomplished than any of them. Though Wirfs is a very, very good left tackle. He deserves to be the highest paid player in the league. And I think that's why Trent Williams might have been waiting until he saw what Wirfs got to figure out where he fits in. Because he has no guaranteed money left on his deal. And we all knew this. But something that emerged earlier today, or yesterday I should say, from the San Francisco Chronicle. I thought this was fascinating, Goo. This is from Mike Silver, 49ers columnist. This is, quote, "The issue isn't that Williams wants more money. That's a no-brainer. The real question is why the 49ers, who according to Kyle Shanahan, have known about Williams' dissatisfaction for months, didn't handle the situation quickly and quietly during the spring."
And that's what we brought up. Like, that's a fumble to me. And what's the new old adage? Today's price is not yesterday's price. Maybe if they would approach Trent, with some urgency months ago, maybe they get him cheaper than Wirfs. And I believe now with this deal, that's the new benchmark. So it is weird, Evan, the guys that I give kudos to, like John Lynch, and you got your house in order and your books, like this happened. So, you know, last week before you got back, I was like, oh, this is nothing. Trent probably at home playing Madden, you know. But nah, this is a thing, and you just want that continuity going into a season. Because you've been so great so many straight years, but these are the little things that I, and Ayuk too, the disease of me, but I get this card that Trent is like, man, I have no guaranteed money? Hell nah. So, Evan, my question to you and the listeners is, okay, now we've established he's upset. He's been upset. They knew it. My question to you is, what's taking so damn long?
Well, it might have been worse. I also think, and this is why the urgency part of it is a bit puzzling for me to figure out. It's, okay, so you approach Christian McCaffrey with urgency because he got his guaranteed money in June.
Forgot about that.
Jumped the line. We were doing the show that day, and I think you put it well. He skipped the line in front of Ayuk. Well, apparently he also skipped the line in front of Trent Williams. And Christian McCaffrey is more important to the offense than Brandon Ayuk is, in my opinion.
But hold on now.
But Trent Williams might just be as, if not more important than Christian McCaffrey.
No doubt.
And the stats show it. When they run behind him, McCaffrey is better than when he runs behind someone else. When Brock Purdy doesn't have Trent Williams on his blind side, he's not the same quarterback. These are all things that are factual. And so my thing is, you know, like, are the 49ers basically just trying to see how much they can penny pinch Trent Williams? That doesn't seem like the kind of guy you would want to penny pinch.
No doubt.
And even if he's 36 years old.
And Evan, if you put yourself in Trent's shoes, we talked about it. I said the middle of the night is when McCaffrey got his deal. Are you a little bit irritated that you saw how fast that deal was expedited? And then now, if they're penny pinching, because they're pinching something, the Niners, that is taking so long for me to get some guaranteed bread, like, would that bother you? Or do you just kind of, like Ayuk, I don't think Ayuk could say anything. His brother and his girlfriend and mom and dad, I get it. And Ryan Clark's of the world on the Pivot podcast can say they skipped you. But at the end of the day, whatever entity or line of work you're in, it's about rank. And McCaffrey and Trent Williams are more important to the Niners than Brandon Ayuk. So I would just tell Brandon, hey, I know it looks bad, but you got to sit over here until this is done. But for Trent to be the equal or almost the equal, the guy that opens the holes for McCaffrey, would you feel a bit slighted that, okay, that got, like you just said, done in a millisecond, and I got to fight 15 rounds for whatever I get?
A little bit, but also we're talking about less money with McCaffrey. Trent Williams is making and will make probably more money. He wants more guaranteed money. And it just seems asinine to me that you would have a player of his stature without any guaranteed dollars. That doesn't seem like something that a quality organization does. This is also, I think, a part of it too for the 415, the Xfinity Mobile text line. You know, in the first segment, we were talking about Brock Purdy and, you know, kind of the takeaways from camp so far. He's been throwing some interceptions. He's been trying some things. I think he's trying to improve as a passer. But the question is Purdy throwing more INTs because Trent Williams isn't at training camp? There could be a correlation,
man,
there. There certainly could
one.
Be a correlation. Right. Absolutely. Maybe it's also because Brandon Ayuk is not there, and he's trying to develop more chemistry with other receivers, younger receivers that he hasn't thrown the ball to in live games. So, again, I find it fascinating that the Niners were able to get things done extremely quickly with Christian McCaffrey. Shortly after, we then hear the whispers from, I think it was Jeremy Fowler, about Trent Williams wanting to restructure his deal.
Wow.
And everybody said, well, there's nothing to see here. Okay, well, a month later, there is something to see because he's not at training camp. And now Wirfs gets paid. There are four offensive tackles that make more money per year than Trent Williams does.
And that's wrong.
That is wrong because he is, at the very least, top three, top two. He might be number one. You know, I some people have Penei Sewell above him. If it is, it's marginal. Trent Williams is the best left tackle, and Mark Schlereth said it on Monday via the River Islands guest line. He said, Trent Williams is one of the best football players in the last quarter century. You got to take care of that guy.
Man.
And the Niners haven't yet.
Evan, we got a four-hour show, three and a half now. I got to tell you what's on my mind, and you tell me if this is fair or foul on the Evan Giddings computer, E-Dog. Mm. So we saw Bosa hold out. Do you think they overpaid Bosa to the point to where now the impact is, hey, Trent, we don't got that little money that you thought we had, and we got to figure some things out. Brandon, we don't got to, like, is it okay that we look at what they paid? And I'm not going to dare say overpaid Bosa, but the ramifications are the two dudes after, not named McCaffrey, were at a standstill. One's at practice, but he's not practicing. And the other's on the couch watching Netflix.
Well, Bosa is the guy that you would potentially overpay for because he's a lot younger. He's earlier in his career than someone like Trent Williams or even Christian McCaffrey based on the age at his position. And I think that is also something the Niners are trying to assess is, you know, do we want to continue to pay massive amounts of money to players that are aging and that might be more injury prone than, say, Nick Bosa, who's 25 and is still in his prime. But you're right. Like, Nick Bosa chose to get, and this is what I said yesterday, Nick Bosa chose to get every single last penny. And he was able to do that. So credit to him. He had that power. He had that leverage. I think the reason why Ayuk is stuck right now is because he doesn't have the kind of leverage that Bosa had. He doesn't have the kind of leverage that Trent Williams currently has. And I don't even know if he has the leverage that Deebo Samuel had 2 years ago to the day when he inked his 3-year contract extension. And that's why I think Trent Williams is significant, both physically and figuratively, is because I don't think an IU extension gets done before Trent Williams. And
wow, man,
I'm not sure when that's going to happen. And every day we move closer to the season, sure, right now, August 1st, it's probably not a big deal. You know, you got a month and change until week one starts, kicks off, you got practice, you got time to get guys back in shape, reorganize all the rest. But every single day it doesn't happen, the more concerned I get about the 49ers.
Wow, man.
Because both Bosa as well as Deebo have highlighted the fact that their seasons weren't derailed, but they were impacted physically, and I'm sure mentally, by the contract negotiations the prior summer and how much that took away from the game of football for them. And if the Niners are truly trying, and they are, and I think they're in a great position to challenge for a Super Bowl, well, then you do need everybody on the same page. And I want two of my most impactful players back on the practice field.
And I'm with you. And one of those players, Ayuk, our own Carter sent us a video dapping up Lynch and Kyle at practice. So I thought I was going to either go to bed with the news Ayuk got a new deal or wake up this morning to a new deal by Ayuk. As of right now, that has not happened. Evan, I guess at the end of the day, I expect it to happen. And the reason I do both of these guys is you have the money. It's about do you want to pay or meet their asking price. You know, you went out and splurged on a home. You got a mortgage. That was Bosa. Now you got PG&E bill. You got a car note. And that's Trent and that's Ayuk. That doesn't mean just because you got the house, you don't pay those bills. Those are due, but it's about do you want to pay those two dudes? And if eloquently, as you just put it, and how important Trent Williams is to this Niner offense, not just the running game, the passing game, his blocking, how could the Niners be, I got to be careful here, messing around with Trent, like, for five more minutes of not getting him the said money to get his ass back in camp, because I think they go as far as he goes. He takes you.
It's because of the guy that we talked about in the first segment, the $60 million man. It's about Brock Purdy.
Man.
So if you're the 49ers, do you really want to guarantee a 36-year-old aging left tackle for three more seasons? Do you want to guarantee McCaffrey for more than the couple of years left on his deal? Mm-hmm. Or do you want to provide yourself with more flexibility? There's also other positions. You know, George Kittle's 30 now. Fred Warner's got miles on his legs. These are all really productive players. You know, Fred Warner was ranked number 11 in the NFL Top 100. Kittle was number 14. Those were the two top-ranked players by the 49ers, among the best in the NFL. You know, Bosa, Purdy, Debo, Ayuk, Greenlaw. And by the way, Trent Williams hasn't been revealed. He could still be on this list. So my point is they have all the talent in the world, and people want to get paid like they are the most talented in the world. But it just begs the question, when does it end? When does it stop? Because it's always been about, yeah, we'll just pay this guy, just pay that guy, just pay this guy. But the 49ers, with how much they haggle, how much they appear to penny pinch, they do want to pay their guys, but they don't just want to give them everything.
Oh, man.
And I think the reason why they now can't just give every player everything is because
of the looming Brock Purdy
because
payday.
Of Brock Purdy.
Can I read something to you, Evan?
Yeah.
So I just told you and the listeners the Carter video that we got about Brandon Ayuk yesterday, you know, dapping up Lynch and Shanahan at practice, and that happened. And Evan, I drove home, and I assumed a deal was imminent. It is coming. He's happy. But Andrew Filippone, for the people that don't know who he is, he does the morning show in Pittsburgh. This is just, it's kind of funny. I'm going to read this
tweet. He's come on with the morning roast, yeah.
Yeah, he has. Marcus Golden re-signed, frees up Steelers to trade Alex Highsmith, and it looked like Brandon Ayuk was saying his goodbyes at 49er camp. And the reason I read that is I took that and some of the fans as, oh, he got his deal. It's just a matter of time. And it's just kind of funny, like Leroy called and said, hey, the interceptions are a sign the defense is balling. But for Andrew to look at it, and I'm not saying he's wrong, but for him to look at it like Ayuk was saying goodbyes, how shocked would you be if the Niners don't give in and Brandon Ayuk was actually traded?
I find it so funny how people interpret different videos. Like, seriously. Yesterday, you and I are simpatico. Like, we both saw it the same way.
They got money coming. They got it done.
Yeah, they're both happy to see each other.
Meet you at Morton's.
Brandon Ayuk, by the way, has been owning social media this entire summer, one way or the other, either because he's been sending signals or because he's been happy. But he knows how to play the Twitter game. I'll give him that. He didn't look like a player that was going anywhere. So, Filippone is, you know, respecting the Pittsburgh market. He's tapped into the Steelers.
Right, right.
I appreciate the commentary. But no, I interpret it, in fact, in the exact opposite way.
Okay.
And there's some people online today that are saying that they expect an Ayuk deal coming down. I'm not sure if it happens today, but I feel very confident. If it, there's no way in hell Brandon Ayuk's getting traded.
Okay, I'm with you, Evan. That lessens your offense.
The Niners would be more inclined to have him plan his fifth year than trade him.
Okay.
I do not think that Brandon Ayuk is playing for another team this upcoming season. I don't think he's playing for another team the next upcoming season.
But Evan, if that was a, and I'm with you, if that was a deal, why wouldn't we know by now? Like, that was midday yesterday. You know, stuff filters out. And I'm with you. I still like, there's no way this is a trade. But if that were a deal, wouldn't the it was somehow, I'm going Drake and Kendrick, the euphoria of we got it done would slip out and we would know something. But every minute that goes by now after that, I'm like, maybe that was him just saying, I appreciate y'all hooking me up, a brother out of here.
Well, maybe his agent's got to fly in. Maybe they actually got to drop the contract. There are probably logistical things that they have to do before it goes down. But there might have just been a handshake agreement yesterday, and literally a handshake between the head coach, the GM, and the player himself. You know, I think Brandon Ayuk, look, he looked like a player that was excited to be in Santa Clara.
All right.
Not a player that wants to be traded, or that actually wants to be traded. I know he did technically request one, but that was just another way of him trying to get his point across. The other part of it, too, is, again, I think with DJ Moore getting paid what he got paid the other day, DJ Moore's a good receiver. I wouldn't be surprised if DJ Moore's not the number one receiver on his team this season in terms of receptions, yards. They got a lot of weapons there for Caleb Williams, who also takes the field probably later on tonight. But I think Brandon Ayuk probably also sees that as, okay, if the Niners' offer that was leaked, you know, a couple months ago was around 26 per year,
okay,
DJ Moore got 27.5 per year, Amon-Ra is the number that apparently he wanted to get, which was around 28. Well, right now, I think DJ Moore might have got Brandon Ayuk the extra $1.5 million a year that he was looking for.
Wow,
it might seem like an insignificant amount of money, but
no, I love that, and it's the Rodney Dangerfield effect. Respect. You know, I think Ayuk had people in his ear about respect. Like, that $1.5 million, Evan, was he wants his name up there because he's not going to be up there with catches. I can't rob him of the yards, but you know what I mean? This team runs first. You're not going to put up the Justin Jefferson-type numbers, and I believe Ayuk and his camp and his family feel he's as good, but you'll never be able to, I don't think, in this Niner offense, compete with those statistical numbers from a personal standpoint. But, Evan, I'm really up here like there's no way this dude's out of here. The Niners are not that. Why did you draft Pearsall? And a trade would be of Ayuk would mean Pearsall was his replacement.
Yeah, and also Caleb Williams is not playing it. Sorry.
Yeah, I wouldn't run him out there.
They'll be talking about him tonight is what they'll be doing. But the 49ers are, look, they're a team that is built on continuity. You know, they operate at the level, at least especially offensively, they put up so many points and numbers. They are a rhythm team. I mean, Brock Purdy, when he was in a rhythm, was unstoppable last season. Kyle Shanahan has discussed the importance of rhythmic play calling. Like, they are a team that needs to work, I don't know, like in lockstep with each other. And until Brandon Ayuk is in pads, and until Trent Williams is in pads, then I don't feel like this team right now is literally together. And they're not together because they want their money. And that is something that just, I don't know, philosophically the Niners do differently than other teams. I mean, the Eagles, for example, took care of their guys earlier in the summer. The Niners had an opportunity to do that. It might have saved them a little bit of money with Ayuk. Who knows? It might have also saved them a little bit of money with Trent Williams, because apparently they knew about his dissatisfaction, according to Mike Silver of the San Francisco Chronicle, a few months ago. So if they knew that he was dissatisfied, why let it linger? Why let all these things linger? In fact, August 1st, 2022 was the day they let linger until they signed Deebo Samuel. They let Nick Bosa linger until nearly week one. These are all things that didn't end up perhaps, you know, hurting the season. Look, they've still been wildly successful. But I guess in a season that is of paramount importance and could be the last best crack you get, I would prefer to have all of my pieces aligned as quickly as possible.
No doubt. And on top of that, I'll just put some frosting on that cake, Evan. We've seen the last two guys, Deebo and Bosa, I'm not going to say subpar, but it affected their play. And that's why we saw in the Super Bowl Bosa on the sideline getting oxygen. When you can look at guys like Crosby for the Raiders, although he wasn't playing in the Super Bowl, play every down. So, I mean, bodies are fickle. And Ayuk, whatever he's doing, he's not busting at 100. You know, you get your money, and then week one there's a hamstring issue or a soft tissue issue that lingers. It's like you don't want to – those things happen anyway, Evan, but you don't want to have it on the cusp of, oh, we went through this contract fight. And I'm talking about Trent Williams, too, at 36. So just get the stuff done, get these guys in, and focus on the season, not the checkbook.
But they've always been focused on the checkbook, both the Niners and the players. But they've always been focused on that checkbook. If they can save a million here, if they can save a million there. The thing that I wonder, and look, we'll never be privy to these conversations, but it didn't feel like to me last year there was anything left that was pinched for by the Niners with Bosa. So Bosa got every last dollar.
Oh,
I mean, the gap between him and the second highest paid player at his position tells me that he got every single dollar.
Mm.
Wirfs just got $140 million. He's getting 28 per year. Does that mean Trent Williams is going to want more than that? Is he going to want equal to that? Does he want what Sewell get? Like, what do these guys want? Because there's a precedent now that they don't have to leave anything on the table. And nor should they, because once Brock Purdy gets his extension, there will be nothing left on the table,
man,
for all of them. In fact, their future in San Francisco might be different. There, Kyle Juszczyk talked about how much he was hurt that he had to restructure his contract initially, that they asked him to take less money, but he wanted to still be here. That was his choice. There are players all across the league that have told their teams to kick rocks.
Armstead left.
The reason why Keenan Allen is, I don't know if he's lacing up tonight for the Bears, probably not. The reason why Keenan Allen is in Chicago is because he didn't want to restructure his deal,
man,
with the LA Chargers. So he left and they traded him. Brandon Ayuk is somebody that I don't think is getting traded, but he has no reason to leave any money on the table, and neither does Trent Williams. And so it's all become about not the scarlet red, not the gold, it's about the green right now with the Niners. And that is something that is a bit different to me than even a couple of years ago, and it did start with Nick Bosa.
Yeah, well said, and Niner fans can say, F you, goo, I don't want to hear that, but it's about the green guys. But Evan, in a crazy, weird way, it's exciting to see for me how this is going to play out and possibly impact the team moving into week one when they host the Jets on Monday night.
No doubt. No doubt. Well, it's football season starting, but here at 95.7 The Game, it's also basketball season, Goo, because we got our Hoop It Up 3-on-3 basketball tournament. It's returning to Thrive City for its second year on Sunday, August 11th, 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. 95.7 The Game is putting a team in the tournament, and we're paying for registration for three listener teams as well. That contest will be Friday at noon, tomorrow at noon, a little over 24 hours away, for the Hoop It Up tournament established and owned by Kevin Garnett, including recreational divisions from ages 8 to 18 plus, as well as adult divisions as well. Each team is allowed a max of 5 players, 3 on the court, 2 subs. For all more details, go to hoopitup.com/957thegame, hoopitup.com/San Francisco, pardon me. Do you think you can beat our team? Make sure you're listening tomorrow at noon. We're giving away 3 free entries to the tournament. If you win, you'll be able to field your own 3-on-3 team to take on the competition. Evan and Verstiney with Goo back after this on 95.7 The Game, all brought to you by Chilton Auto Body.
Have you been in a car accident? Chilton Auto Body is 15 convenient Bay Area locations to help restore your vehicle to pre-accident condition. Chilton Auto Body is also actively hiring for all positions. For more details, head to ChiltonAutoBody.com, the Bay Area's leader in collision repair.
The economy is rough, and traditional four-year programs are just not cutting it. People need something new, and Merit America is that. 22 weeks of flexible training led by experts, 7 high-paying tracks, including cybersecurity and data analytics.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.